Welcome one and all to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders taking you through the best value bets for five races on ITV on Saturday from Kempton, two at Lingfield featuring one of the big names of flat racing and the slog that is the Ida Chase up at Newcastle. We'll also get the rest of the lads' Saturday selections, the Knapp, and then on Sunday, some good racing from Nace and from Fontwell, where we've got an unlikely Irish star in action at that gorgeous little Sussex venue. And before we go, I will squeeze a fresh Cheltenham thought out of the lads. Okay, so let's put the rest of the worries of the world behind us for the next half an hour and immerse ourselves in a great weekend of racing. We'll start with 1:15 at Kempton on Saturday. 2.5 miles is the trip. For the Coral, fail to finish, free bets, handicap chase. I'll give you some guide prices. Phlegmatic is 100 to 30. Patroclus, 7 to 2. Dayran de Carjac, 4 to 1. One True King, 7s, 15 to 2. Bar. We'll start off with Robbie Wilders. Make it a good one, Rob. What have you got for us?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I've backed Dayran de Carjac. Just think he looks a really well handicapped horse. He was third in a couple of grade twos as a novice a couple of years ago. And in this season, he's been running really well in some really good handicaps at Cheltenham. Just sort of quite surprised that the handicap has dropped him £8 since the start of this season. He's got trip and ground very much in his favour. I just think this race is quite a bit weaker than those he's been contesting recently. And he looks a very fair price at around 4-1. So he'll do for me.
Righty ho, Robbie opens up with 4-1 shot Dayran de Carjac. DJ, who are you going to go with, my friend?
This is like a carbon copy of last week where I started off copying Robbie. I was actually hoping you'd come to me here first because I had a feeling Robbie was going to tip Dayran de Carjac as well. Like Robbie said, I think he's well handicapped. He's down to 1-9. If you go back to that run in the Racing Post Gold Cup behind Cool Cody, like he wasn't beaten far at all. He clattered the second last. I think he was beaten about 13 lengths off £4 higher in a better race. He made a bad mistake early on that day. And at the second last, he kind of arrived there with every chance and he didn't get the smoothest passage either. And I thought that was a really good run. I'd say even a repeat of that, even though he finished fifth, might be good enough. If you go back even to his novice form, he was third to Champ in that grade two at Newbury when Blacktop was second, when Barry nearly went through the rails. His novice form is good. I think his recent form is not as bad as the form figures portray it to be. And I think he'll go off favourite and I think he'll win, Bruce.
How did you two do last week? We've got an unchanged team this week, haven't we? I can't remember, which normally means it was hopeless.
No, we did. We actually did very well. It was just a shame that Mr. Glass let the side down. Fakir, the Dares won.
Oh, yeah.
And a few others that we both agreed on. So we had a good week, Robbie, I think.
Yeah, it was all right. Could have been better. I know there's a few favourites. But hopefully more to come this week.
Okay, let's move on to the 1:50 at Kempton. 2 miles is the trip for the Coral Adonis Juvenile Hurdle. A race that in the past has thrown up some late clues for the triumph. We'll see if it does this year. Knight Salute, unbeaten in four for Milton Harris's favourite at 7-4. Pleasant Man, a very high class operator on the front for Roger, on the flat even for Roger Charlton, is 4-1, making his jumps David for Nichols. Impulsive One is sixes, and then it's 7-1, Mocha Devassi, a 9-1 bar. DJ, I think it's going to take something pretty special to prevent anything happening at the top of the Triumph Hurdle market, isn't it? What do you fancy?
Yeah, the only one that could change it is probably the one I'm going to put up here is Pleasant Man. Now, I'm obviously stepping into the unknown here because we have no idea how good Pleasant Man jumps, but he was a pretty good operator on the flat. Pretty good operator on the flat for Roger Charlton. Like he got up to, I think the highest mark he got up to was about maybe, I think he got up to 100 initially. But he always struck me as the type that could go hurdling. And you just look through Nicholas's record in the race. Like he has a pretty good record. He won it with Irish Saint in 2013. Zubair won it in 2016. A similar type to this fella. And Solo won it in 2020. Now, they didn't go on to achieve any great things, but they're still decent horses in their own right. And I'd say he's targeted this race with Pleasant Man for a long time. I think with Knight Salute, I'm a big fan of the horse, but I thought he gathered a head of steam kind of through the autumn and early winter. He went bang, 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 got loads of confidence. And the two races he won at Cheltenham and at Doncaster especially had a bit of substance to him. So if the Knight Salute that shows up at Doncaster shows up here. He's got a massive chance and he sets the standard off with a mark of 137. But I don't know. I just think I'd be willing to take a chance on Pleasant Man. I think if Nichols' stable were in better form, he wouldn't be 4-1. He'd be more like 5-2. And at that price, you're getting a decent price to find out how good he is.
Yeah, I like it. I love these horses that come from flat where they stay on well and they've got decent form. I wish we saw a little bit more of that. That kind of pathway from the kind of Pleasant Man to hurdling has become all too rare. So it'd be good to see Pleasant Man win. Who do you fancy, Rob?
I just think, I mean, Pleasant Man might win, but I think he's going to have to be well above average to beat Knight Salute. I think Knight Salute is arguably should be a bit shorter than he is. I think he's the sort of horse that if he was trained by Nichols or a Nicky Henderson, then there'd be a much more hype around him. But Milton Harris is actually operating at a better strike rate this year than both of them. I mean, you just go back through his form. He's beaten the Chepstow Grade 1 winner Porticello last time. He's beaten the Impulsive 1 twice, fair and square. I can't see why that one would reverse form, particularly as Impulsive 1 is on £5 worse terms of him. I mean, he's won 2 Grade 2s and... yeah, I just think he should be short in the years. So around 2-1, I think that's a good bet.
Okay, next up is the 225 at Kempton. And it's the Coral Pendle Novices Chase. A Grade 2 over 2 miles, 4.5 furlongs. Going, by the way, good to soft at the moment with 24 hours to go till racing starts. London is absolutely bathed in glorious winter sunshine. So I certainly wouldn't expect it to get any worse. Pick Doherty for Nichols is 7-4 Fav. 9-4 Manila Drama, 100-30 Fantastic Lady, Miller's Bank 9-2, and the outsider at 33-1 is Goa Lil. Who do you fancy, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, I think that 9-2 about Miller's Bank is pretty appealing. Like I know you look at his form figures, he's got a couple of U's next to his name. But if you go back to his chase and David Hunter, then where he was going right-handed, he's back right-handed today. He barely put a foot wrong. I thought he was really good there. He doesn't have a £5 penalty. Pick Dory in Minnow Drama will have to obviously concede one. He was the best of these over hurdles as well. He was obviously third to Abacadabras and Buzz at the entry hurdle in the spring. I mean, he was only sent off 4-1 to beat Lompresso in the Dipper in January. I don't think he's in love with the soft ground there. He wasn't really travelling and he's also had a wind up since. So if that wind up's worth the trick, I think he's got an absolutely great chance. And I could see him running really well at 9-2. For a 5-runner field, that's a pretty good price to me.
Make a good case there, Robbie. Are you going to counter that with something else or row in with Robbie, DJ?
Bruce, if there wasn't this doubt about Ditchett, I would be all in on Pick Dory here. I just can't. It's in the back of my mind. I obviously spoke up about Mr. Glass last week, and I don't know if you saw the race, but like, he travelled beautifully through the race. He jumped brilliant. He needs 3 miles. He's going to be a stayer. And he turns into the home straight and then it's lights out. It's like he literally couldn't move after the last. And it made no sense whatsoever because he's a very good horse that's extremely well handicapped, that is a stayer and jumped brilliantly and travelled well. And yet he walks over line. So that's the worry I have here about Pick Dory. It is just the form at Ditchett.
He's had 4 wins from 22 runs in the last fortnight, DJ. I mean, obviously not fantastic, but you know, not disastrous.
Yeah, Soldier Love was pulled up the other day at Doncaster. You know, he'd a couple of horses very well beaten that shouldn't have been beaten. Like, I just go back, even Bob and Co was beaten, even though he needs further. St. Calvados burst and ran a stinker in the Ascot Chase. I don't know, I just have my doubts. I just think they're not firing on all cylinders. With Pick Dory, it's him against stable form. That's the way I look at it with Pick Dory. I think he's by far the best horse in this race. I think this is a brilliant piece of placing by Nichols, because I think a track like Kempton, 2.5 miles, is exactly what Pick Dory wants. I think he's a flat track horse. Like, he's taking on Manila Drama, Fantastic Lady. Robbie made a good case for Miller's Bank, who was obviously had a wind up as well. Look, I just think Pick Dory's in a different league to these, and I think he's not far off being a proper Grade 1 horse. So I'd be probably willing to take the chance around 7-4, to be honest with you.
Okay. The 3 o'clock at Kempton is the Skybet Dovecote Novices Hurdle over 2 miles. And shall we have one more? It's Evens Fav. And then it's Ocorn Risk, 9-2, 11-2 ICO, 7-1 Frere Darm, 10-1 Russian Ruler, and 11 Bar. DJ, you can go first.
I think Shall We Have One More is the most likely winner, but I think he's far too short. I think Frere Darms is the one here that's too big of a price. I was quite impressed by what I saw from him at Wincanton last time. He was 2-9 and, you know, he'd nothing to beat, but it was just the manner of the victory that I thought was quite impressive. You know, Harry just shook the reins after the last and he just burst clear. The time before it, he was good at Huntington as well. And even if you go back to that Ludlow form, I think Balco Coastal, I know he blotted his copybook last time at Cheltenham in a race that he should have won, that North Lodge won, but he's still rated 134 and he's still quite a solid horse, Balco Coastal. And Frere Darms got within a length and a quarter of him, albeit getting a little bit of weight. I think he should be about 4-1 rather than twice the price. So at the price, I'm going to go for Frere Darms.
Who are you going to go for, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, I think Shall We Have One More is a little bit short there. I just think he's the kind of horse that people might be getting a bit carried away because he runs in the Goshen colours and he kind of has a similar running style to Goshen. I know he's really impressive at Sandown, but the reality is he's beaten the same Alan King horse in quite a similar fashion to Alcan Risk, who's about 5 times the price. Alcan Risk really swept aside that horse at Plumpton a couple of starts back and has improved since. So I can't really understand the differential. On his last run in a Wincanton handicap, I thought that looked a really competitive race. And he's absolutely stormed home by 10 lengths. I know he's only up for 114, but I mean, you don't always have to be rated that high to win this kind of race. Chris Gordon won it a couple of years ago with a similar type in higher 102. And I just think of 8 runners there, I think in each way playing Alcan Risk around 5-1, I think that's a pretty good bet.
So, Robbie, you think there's absolutely no dangers to Alcan Risk?
Yeah? I knew there was a pun coming. Yeah.
No, it's not a pun. That's what Alcan Risk means in French. Absolutely no danger.
I'm a Spanish man, but wouldn't know what it is in Spanish, actually.
Okay. Right then, should we move on to the race of the day? Now, one of the great sponsorship deals that we ever did at the Racing Post was for the Racing Post Chase. A quiz for you, lads. When was the last year it was actually officially called the Racing Post Chase?
Oh, it's actually, it's longer ago than you think, because didn't BetBright sponsor there? Was it BetBright or
Bet? Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'll go 2012.
Almost.
I mean, honestly, I wasn't even following racing when it was called the Racing Post Chase, so I think we're going back before 2010.
No, it's 2013, but ever since then, it's always been referred to as the Racing Post Chase, and it hasn't cost us a penny. Anyway, this year, it's the Coral Trophy, a handicap chase over 3 miles. We've got 14 runners, and Anne Sam is fav at 5-1. Then it's 6-1 five-star getaway, 7 Cat du Nord, 7 the Big Breakaway, 17-2 Galahad Quest, 9 Phoenix Way, 9 Ziguli, and 10-1 Bar. Shop around for best place terms. There's 14 runners. A couple of firms are offering 5 places, so don't get caught out by missing the extra place boat. Robbie, it's your go to go first. Have you sussed one for us here?
Yeah, I think Ansam is still a well-handicapped horse. I have backed him, but I don't know if he's as much valued now. On his last start, he really
well. We banned all this boasting about getting the value.
I'm the anti-postman, technically, mate, so that's sort of going with the territory.
Well, I suppose so. Right. You're still trying to build your profile, aren't you? Fair enough. Go on.
I'm plugging that. We're trying to get subscribers in, aren't we? Anyway, I just worry about the Evan Williams stable form because he's not been going the same. He's just not at the same form he's been on recently.
One win from 15 runs in his last 14 days, it says in the Racing Post.
Yeah, and even if you go back a bit further, there's not been much to shout about. He looked brilliant at Ascot. He's only £6 higher. I think he's still well treated off that. And the second Phoenix Way has obviously come out and won since. I think now Zanza is the bet. If you draw a line through his last run, there's just simply no way he'd be a double-figure price. The concern is he does make the odd jumping error, and he did last time, which cost him at Cheltenham when he was pulled up. He's only set off 6-1 for that really good New Year's Day handicap chase. But I always thought he could be one that could improve up to 3 miles for the first time. He gets that here. He's back down to the same mark as when he was a second to Cool Cody at Cheltenham a couple of starts back, staying on really strongly there. I like horses that keep putting up RPRs ahead of their mark. And he goes off 1.45. On his last few runs, he's put up quite a few RPRs in the 150s. I just think he's going to win a big handicap like this sooner rather than later. And at double figures, yeah, he's the one for me.
Many will have lost the faith with Zanza, but Robbie is keeping
one
the faith.
One last chance.
Okay, fair enough. DJ, what do you make of this?
I love the way Robbie says, the slight concern is he makes the odd jumping errors. It's a bit like saying, the slight concern for my weight is that I have the odd Chinese takeaway. it's a big concern. He's more talented than his mark. And if this was a 3 mile flat race, I'm sure he'd be favourite. He's just so frustrating. And I'm going to completely contradict myself here with the horse that I'm going to tip, but I'm going to go down the big breakaway route again. And I know what Keels, yeah. I listened to Keels the other night. I know he jumps fences the way he should jump hurdles, and he jumps hurdles the way he should jump fences. I get all that. I do. But the fact of the matter is, the talent-wise, I do think he's the most talented horse in the race, and he doesn't have top weight. He's running off 147. And I just go back to that Newton Abbott run from earlier in the season. Like, it's working out not just really well, it's working out spectacularly well. He fell at the last when he was about 2.5 lengths or 3 lengths down. He was giving Brave Man's Game £12 that day, so like the guts of a stone. And he was only a couple of lengths down at the last, Brave Man's Game getting a solo in front. He is a very, very good horse on his day. When he ran against Sean Blue in the Cotto Saranovitz Chase at Kempton Christmas a couple of seasons ago, last season actually, he, like, if he jumped any of the three reasonably well, he would have won, and he would have been a Grade One winner, I think. He's running off 147. Tizard Stabler in much better form this season. He said a couple of times that this has been his aim. It's a second run after Windup. That's a thing that I love. I love the second run after Windup thing. He has cheek pieces on to help him. He's a tongue strap on as well. I just think all the kind of the equation is just beginning to add up. And I think we're going to get the right answer here this day. He's off 147. I think he's much better than that. I think he's a mid 150s horse, and you're getting 15-2. Like, it's not like he's 7-2 favorite. He's 15-2. He's a bloody good horse. And I think this could be the big breakaway's day.
Robbie said that Zanza is in the Last Chance Saloon. Would you say the big breakaway is? I mean, if he doesn't win today, will you finally scrub him?
God, yeah. Like, I've managed to get Mr. Fisher off my list. So, like, the big breakaway, if he doesn't do the business here now, he's gone with Mr. Fisher, yeah.
Okay, Flat Fans, got a treat for you next.
Watch the Racing Post Cheltenham preview show at 6 p.m. on March the 6th, live on the Racing Post YouTube channel, with expert opinion and top tips from guests including Tom Siegel, Paul Keighley, David Jennings and Katie Walsh. It's the ultimate preview for the biggest 4 days of the year.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done Kempton's TV card. There's three other races on Saturday on ITV. Two from Lingfield on the flat. The first one is the 1:30. It's the Betway Heaver Sprint, a listed race over 5 furlongs, a small field, but very competitive. Lord Riddiford, 5-2. Fav, Exalted Angel, 11-4. Tone the Barone, 7-2. Monjamedge 4, Strong Power 8, and One Night Stand 12. David James, I know you very much, both of you, have got your jumps heads on at the moment, but hopefully you've had a chance to return to flat mode for a few minutes to give us a couple of winners. Start off with one here.
Yeah, it's a nice breeder, actually. I used to kind of hate when you had, you know, flat racing or all-weather racing on during a jumps card, but it's
variety is the spice of life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been so intense the last couple of weeks, and it's Cheltenham and it's Finding Clues and it's, you know, it's real intense. This is a kind of a little bit of a breeder, but the one I really do like on the Lingfield card runs in this race, it's Exalted Angel, who I thought was a real eye catcher last time, 3 weeks ago, behind Spycatcher. That performance to me suggested he was in good heart. Like, he was drawn out, he was drawn in 4, but what happened was he actually got really, really tight for space on the home turn and didn't really get a chance to show what he was made of. He was only beaten just over 2 lengths, and he just looks to me, he is formed to find with Tone the Barone and Mondamedge, but I think that the setup of this race will suit him, and I think at the prices, he's probably just about the value. I think he's a good sprinter on his day.
Are you busy with Cheltenham preview nights, DJ? How many are you doing this year?
Yes, I'm doing about 5 or 6, I think. 5 or 6, yeah.
That's not too bad, is it? And of course, the beauty of booking you is that you don't need any other guests, do you? Because you can just talk literally all night and fill all that space with all
that's
that
not nice
knowledge.
Now, Bruce. That's
no,
not
I'm,
nice
it's
now.
A compliment. It's a compliment. I don't know how you do it. Yeah, I bet your possession stats on these nights are absolutely spectacular, aren't they?
Yeah, I probably don't do as much scoring as I should, though.
And what's your latest finish ever that you'd say? Have you ever been past midnight?
Oh, God, this is Ireland, Bruce. God, yeah. Most of them go on past midnight. There's one I used to do. Oh, my God. I used to do the Oliver Brady one. Do you remember Oliver Brady?
Yeah.
Trainer, the...
He used to sing, didn't he, after he'd won?
Yeah, you'd have... It used to be like, do you know, I don't know if you have them over there. You know race nights, like American Racing, where the old videos from the 90s, like, there used to be that. There used to be an auction. There used to be, like, special guests. So you could have a comedian. Tommy Bowe appeared in, the Irish rugby player, one night. And I remember one time I was staying in the place, and I think it finished at about 10 to 2.
Oh,
but that was the latest. But
you've been on some of those ones I've hosted. It's a 5 foot long sprint, isn't it? You can't mess around in these games.
Quality, not quantity. Yeah, exactly.
I've managed to do a sub 1 hour one. That's like a sub 2 hour marathon. Anyway, before I contradict myself and elongate this show anymore, we better get Robbie's tip for the 1:30 at Lingfield.
Yeah, I'd actually fully agree with DJ on Exalted Angel. I know Tone the Barone beat him a couple of starts back, but he's on £9 better terms with that one, and now it's a listed race. It was just really eye-catching on that last start. I think he would have gone close to winning if he didn't have such a bad trip in the last furlong. He did finish sixth, but he definitely would have gone close. And he's actually the highest rated runner in this field, so it's kind of surprising he's not favourite. So Exalted Angel for me.
Okay, the boys may well agree with their fancies on the next one as well. It's the 2:05, 1 mile and 2 furlongs for the Betway Winter Derby, a Group 3. And Lord North, a real star of the flat. I haven't seen him since last March when he dotted up at Maidan. He's fav at 10 to 11 for John and Thady Gosden with Robert Havlin riding. Alan Kerr, 11 to 4, Fancy Man 4. Forest of Dean, 10. 18, Bar. We've got 8 runners, so we've got each way potential. But will the boys just put their trust in the fav? Start with you, Rob.
Yeah, I know our good friend and colleague Andrew Wilshire is telling me that Forest of Dean is a really good bet, but I just can't see him being good enough to turn over Lord North. He's rated £16 inferior. I would like to take on Lord North, but you just look at his record fresh. It's exceptional. He's won off a 140-day break, a 218-day break. He's won off a 192-day break. I just think he should get the job done. He's also won the all-weather in the past, so that's a tick in the box. We should touch on Alenker as well, who's a very interesting runner. He's obviously second to Mishriff in the Jumbo International, but I just worry that he might be a bit better over 1 mile 4 overall. I think Lord North should win. If he's odds against, that makes him slightly interesting for a betting perspective.
Okay, yeah, I think, DJ, there'll be a lot of people who look at Lord North, have a little look through the race and say, I don't need to look any further. Lord North just wins. Do you agree with that view?
Yeah, I have to say, at the time of recording, he's 11 to 10 with Boyle Sports, and I can't believe it. Like, I just don't understand how he's not 1-2 or shorter. I know he's obviously had problems and missed most of last season, but as Robbie said, his record fresh is phenomenal. And he went from running at the Breeders' Cup to running at Maidan last year and was absolutely brilliant. Like, he had whatever, a 5-month break, and he was absolutely amazing and had an RPR of 122. He's run against horses here that he's vastly superior to. John Gosden has won the race for the last 3 years in a row with horses who were reasonably short prices, the likes of Wizahicken, Dubai Warrior, and obviously Forest of Dean won it last year. This horse is in a different league to all of those. And I'm sure if he wasn't right, he wouldn't be running them at all. He wouldn't even be chancing them if he was 75% fit. It's a nice prize, and I would imagine his SP will be closer to 4-7 than evens.
We shall see. Okay, from blue-blooded flat horses to 4 mile, 1.5 furlong stayers at Newcastle, because their 3:15 TV race is the Vertem Ida. The going's good to soft at Newcastle, so it shouldn't be quite as testing as it can be. I mean, I can think of some Idas in the past where it seems to take about 15 minutes to run. You will certainly need to get the trip, though. We've got 18 runners, so we've got extra places coming out of our ears. Some firms are going 6 places, which is good news. And let's spin through the betting before the lads tell us who wins. Currently 11-2 joint favs, Eclair Surf and History of Fashion. 7-1 for Danilo Dairy. 8-1 Domaine DeLille. 10 Court Master, 10 Just Your Type. 11 Check It Out. 12 Rathan Lure, hope I pronounced that correctly, DJ. 14 Achille. 14 Cash to Ash. 14 Potter's Corner. 14 Win My Wings. 16 Bar. Blimey, this looks really, really difficult. DJ, solve it for me.
It is. And do you know what, Bruce? one of my favorite and earliest memories of racing is this race, would you believe? I think I was about 10 or 11, and a horse called Seven Towers won it for Mary Reevely and Peter Niven. I don't know if you remember this horse, but if there's any footage, if listeners can go back and watch it, he was one of these horses who his head used to hit the grass when he was running. He had a really low head carriage. And I remember just absolutely falling in love with this horse because he had such a low head carriage. And he won this race in 97. I can remember where I was. I remember what I was doing that day. I was after playing an underage soccer match that morning. I remember watching the race, and like, it's where I owned the horse afterwards. It's one of my earliest memories. A bit of a sob story there. But yeah, Seven Towers is one of my early favourites, Bruce. As regards this race, I thought Eclair Surf was quite impressive last time at Warwick. I thought it was a real, you know, a real kind of explosive type of performance for a stay and chase. I thought like he went and did everything right. He made one mistake, but he absolutely blew them out of the water. And the form looks strong enough. Like, you know, the favourite finished second. Cora Trambler was fourth. Jerry's Back is a decent enough yardstick at that level as well. And he really did the business. He went up £10 for it, but he deserved to go up every bit of the £10 for it. He's still only an eight-year-old. And I just think when these staying chasers get on a bit of a roll, I think they're worth following. And he's a big enough price here. I know he's gone up £10, but you can get 13-2. I think that's a big enough price for Eclair Surf.
Thank you, DJ. Robbie, are you going to take us on an equally boring, irrelevant trip down memory lane before you tell us who you fancy?
You're only saying that because you can't remember the horse, Bruce.
I've never actually even been to Newcastle.
What, the race course or the town?
No, I mean, certainly not the town.
The city, rather.
Don't know if there's much going on there. I see what DJ's saying about Eclair Surf, but I just worry about the ground. All his form is on testing ground. But, I mean, he gets the longer trip, which might help. I think History of Fashion, I see he's actually been really well backed, which is kind of annoying. But, yeah, I think this horse on a steep up and curve, if you look at his run at Down Royal last time, yeah, he just looked like he had so much on the bonnet the way he won there. He looks all about stamina. He was running over kind of 2 miles, 2.5 miles for much of his career, but he's just really stepped up since up to three. And, I mean, it'll only be his fifth chase. I just think there's loads more to come. And he's only off £2 higher than his Irish mark. I just think he's going to have to go close in this. But okay. I mean, it is a concern about the lack of experience, but I think he's very well treated.
Jolly good. So the boys think the market's got it right. We've got 11-2 joint favs, and DJ goes for Eclair Surf, and Robbie goes for History of Fashion. That's the TV action done and dusted, but we have loads more weekend wisdom coming right up.
The Cheltenham Ultimate Guide is everything the smart punter needs for the 2022 Cheltenham Festival, with big race previews, tips and trends from the likes of Maddie Playle, Paul Keeley, Gavin Lynch and more. This guide has it all. Available at all good retailers from Friday, March 4th, or head to the Racing Post shop and order yours now.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and David Jennings. Let's get some Saturday fancies away from the TV action. We've got Chepstow. We certainly haven't got Chester yet. We've got Chepstow, we've got Fairy House, we've got Wolverhampton, and we've got all the TV undercards. So let's see what the lads think. Don't give your naps away, DJ. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to Fairy House. The main race on the card is the Bobby Joe Chase, the Tote Bobby Joe Chase at 4:18. There's only four runners. But you've got Any Second Now, so unlucky in last year's National, run against Borough Saint, who ran so well in the National, and Cocoa Beach and Ascaria 10. They've all got a chance. At the moment, Cocoa Beach is the outsider of the field, and I'm kind of a bit surprised at that. I think he'll run really well. He ran quite well in some decent handicap chases this year. But the two betting propositions that I like are in the 308, the Tommy Carberry handicap hurdle, Hom Dun Swar for Isaac Swade and Simon Muneer, and Stuart Crawford runs here. A promising enough horse earlier on in his career for Gordon Elliott. And I just thought last time at Navan, in a pretty competitive handicap hurdle, he was 33-1. He just travelled really well and ran really well. He was only beaten six lengths off a mark of 123. He made a mistake at the last as well. And to me, he's a well-handicapped horse. Like, he's rated 130-something not so long ago, and now he's down to 123. So Hom Dun Swar in the 308. And I'm sticking with the Stuart Crawford team, because in the bumper, now it's always, you know, it's a shortcut to the poorhouse if you're backing horses against Gordon Elliott or Willie Mullins trained horse in the bumper. Willie is a newcomer called What Path, and Gordon has a point winner in Kansas City Star either of those could be a star, but I think they might need to beat Bellany Lord for Stewart and Ben Crawford. This horse ran an absolute cracker first time out at Limerick. If you get a chance to watch the video, he went right down the inside. Nobody else did in the race, and he just travelled really, really well. He's since been bought by Isaac Swade and Simon Maneer. The form is interesting because the third horse there that was beaten 16 lengths behind Bellany Lord went on to win a hurdle race and is rated 116 over hurdles. So, you know, the form is reasonably strong. And I think Bellany Lord in that 525 affair, yes, I think he's going to take a bit of stopping.
Jolly good. Thank you very much, DJ. Robbie, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued by that Bobby Joe chase as well. I'm not sure I agree with DJ on Cocoa Beach, but I think Escaria 10 is going to take quite a lot of beating here. He receives £8 from Cocoa Beach and Any Second Now, and I think he's open to the most improvement out of the four runners. I mean, he's obviously got that National Hunt chase form behind Galvin, which has worked out spectacularly this season. And I thought there was quite a lot of life in his comeback run of the Fire Estes. I just think he probably needed it. I think he'd be better this time. And I actually quite like him for the National as well. I could see his price being almost single figures if he wins this, so he might be worth looking at for that. I've got one more at Kempton as well. 410, the 2.5 mile handicap hurdle. I think Navajo Pass has opened up at quite a big price. You remember this horse beat Boover there in the Champion Herbal Trial at Haydock last year, but I think he actually won in spite of the trip, and he probably needs a little bit further to show his best. His best RPR overall is actually over 2.5 miles. He's not run over that trip since. He's just taken a little bit of time to warm up this season, but he ran his best race in ages last time, and he's £12 lower than when he started this season. I think he ran a big race under Brian Hughes.
Lovely stuff. Okay, let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
Away you go, David Jennings. If you're only having one bet on Saturday, who's it going to be on?
I'm going to put my faith in the Paul Nicholl stable to come back to form, because I think Pick Dory will be odds on if they were in form. So I'm going to go for Pick Dory in the 225 at Kempton.
And Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, got another one. The 350 at Newcastle, 2 mile handicap hurdle, soft risk. I know Nicky Richards thinks the absolute world of this horse, and he said he hoped he can develop into a top class chaser in time. He's unbeaten in four starts. He's won on a range of different ground conditions. And just looking at his RPRs, I can't really believe that he's been given a mark of 123 for his handicap debut. He's won all his starts really easily. I just think he's miles better than that. And it wouldn't even surprise me if he ended up in a race like the Top Novices Hurdle at Aintree later in the season. The same connections saddled the favourite of that in 2015. A similar profile to Soft Risk. He actually won a handicap before going on to Aintree. And I just think off a mark of 123, he's an absolute banker.
Lovely. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's have a look at Sunday. As we close in on the festival, the Sunday cards tend, for obvious reasons, to be slightly less well endowed with quality horses. But 250 Fontwell on Sunday is the Royal Equestrian Bedding and Manor Elite Horse Box National Spirit Hurdler, grade 2 over 2 miles and 3. 6 runners and 6 good ones. Brewing Up a Storm, Guard Your Dreams, Mon Morale, All Mankind, Botox Has, and all the way over from Ireland, Darva Star. This should be interesting, Robbie, shouldn't it? I haven't seen a show of betting, have you?
Yeah, good little race. I'd be interested to see how it is priced up. If Brewing Up a Storm isn't favourite, I'd really like him. I just feel like he's the now horse. If it wasn't for falling at the last in the rail kill, he'd be unbeaten this season. Looked good at Linkfield last time, goes on any ground. I do think the best long-term prospect in the field is going to be Mon Morale. But we'll remember last season he beat Adagio in the grade 1 at Aintree, a really good juvenile. But he was just so poor in the fight and fifth in his comeback. I'd rather see a little bit more from him before backing him. But yeah, I think this should go to Brewing Up a Storm, really.
Okay, what do you make of it, DJ? What a cracker.
Yeah, it's really interesting because as Robbie said, Mon Morale is going to be a smashing horse. I wouldn't be giving up on him at all. I could see him being an Arkle horse next season. Obviously, All Mankind is very good. I like Darver Star because I think Darver Star should have beaten Brewing Up a Storm last time at Linkfield. I think Keith was betwixt and between. He didn't really know what to do, Keith Donoghue, because Goshen was in the race and he was hanging. He didn't know whether to sit, but he had to go on his inside and he couldn't track him into the straight because you just can't trust Goshen. And he ended up doing neither. He didn't really sit or he didn't really go. And Brewing Up a Storm picked him up after trading a huge price and running. And Darver Star traded at 1-3 that day. And you just look at it and I say to myself, right, if Keith had something to aim at that day, would Darvistar have won? And I think he would. And I think Fontwell will be fine for him. I think he's adaptable. And I think there's far more pace in this race, far more natural pace and pace that you can trust. And I think he's going to reverse that form, Darvistar. I think it's interesting that Gavin Cromwell has waited for this because he was in the Boyne Hurdle at Navan on Tuesday. He's waited for this instead. And I think he could be rewarded. I think Darvistar will win.
Rightio. And let's turn our attention to Nace, where there are eight races and some good ones there. I'll just throw it open to you, DJ, to let us know who we should be backing.
Yeah, the first race is really interesting because there's only four runners, but Captain Guinness is in there. And Captain Guinness is against Black Bow, who is back down to 2 miles and should really be hard to beat. But I think I'd give Captain Guinness the benefit of the doubt. I think Captain Guinness is one of these horses that at this level, he's hard to beat. But when he steps into grade ones, he just finds it tricky and doesn't finish out his races. I think here he's a more solid option, this sort of company. It's a grade three. He's rated 160. He's given £7 to Black Bow, but I think he can do it. And if he's not favourite, I think he could end up being favoured. I think he's the one to be on in that
two. He's not fav now. He's 5-2.
Is he not? Yeah. I'm actually doing the spotlights in this race. And I was trying to decide what to do. And I think I will put him in favour because I do think he will go off favourite because I just think he's a little bit more reliable than Black Bow. But the Rasso is interesting as well. Obviously, back in the chase, he's been hurdling. And it's a real interesting race. Only four runners, but it's very interesting. In the 3 o'clock, this Hador, I think, is going to be very hard to beat for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend, running against Hayao. So interesting novices running here because both of them are entered at the Cheltenham Festival. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I thought Hador was quite impressive last time. That's in the 3 o'clock. And in the 2:30, the race before it, Ballyshannon Rose has been in really, really good form. She's won two of her last three starts. But I was quite impressed with King Alex last time. He's running off a mark of 125. Barry Connell, right? Barry Connolly owned all the real good horses. He bought Har Connor, but he's training now. I'm nearly certain he had three runners and three winners 3 days in a row, if that makes sense. I think he had a winner at Navan, he had a winner at Punchdown, he had a winner at Turles, and I think there were 3 days in a row. So his stable are obviously in great form. And I thought King Alex won a really good conditions chase. It was a rated novice chase at Limerick over Christmas. And there was a lot of decent horses in it. The likes of Fakir the Large, the Pre-Sleep, and one that I fancied in the race was Razzle Dazzle Love. And I thought he did well to win. I think he's a horse on the up. And I think a mark of 125 underestimates him. So he'd be my best bet on the card. That's King Alex in the 2:30.
Thank you very much. 5-1, King Alex, I can see. Robbie, I think you've sussed one for us at Nace, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm against DJ in the opener, the 2 o'clock. I think Black Bow will beat Captain Guinness. I mean, he's always threatened to be a kind of 160-plus rated chaser, but it's never quite taken off. But this season, I've seen much more from him. He gets £7. On the figures, he's waited to win. And I just think on his last run at the Dublin Racing Festival, it was over 2.5 miles. He didn't quite get home over that trip. The drop down to 2 will be in his favour. He's still very lightly raced for a 9-year-old. I mean, there's every reason to think that we haven't seen the best of him just yet. And I'm hoping that the fact that Paul Townend doesn't ride him and Danny Mullins does, he might be a better price as well.
Lovely stuff. Thank
one
you very much.
To note, one thing to note, Bruce, for all you Cheltenham fans, or Tiger Old fans even, in the 5 o'clock, Prengard, this purchase from France that spent all winter as favour for the cross-country runs in a hurdle race, the 5 o'clock. And the Bulger said that he didn't know if he was going to make it or not. Could they find a hurdle race for him? Well, he's running over 1 mile, 7 furlongs and 101 yards on Sunday, which is the guts are 2 miles shorter than he's going to be running over Cheltenham if he gets there. So keep an eye on Prengard in the 5 o'clock, see how he gets on.
I can hear the trepidation in your voice because you've been singing, spraying up Tiger Roll for that race for ages. So
yeah, he's just been the wrong price all winter. It's just bonkers.
Right then, talking of Cheltenham, we are but 18 days away from the start of the festival. So before the lads go, I'm going to squeeze out a latest Cheltenham thought from them, and we'll start with you, Robbie. What's come onto your radar this week?
Yeah, I'm like you, Bruce. I'm not generally a massive fan of non-runner no bet, but sometimes horses are priced incorrectly with that, and I just think put the kettle on at double figures for the mare's chase is a cracking in each way bet at double figures. I mean, yeah,
she's just gone off the boil though, hasn't she?
Yeah, you can't use that one twice, mate. Come on,
you can.
No.
As Frank Skinner once said, every time you went to see Sinatra, he always sung My Way, and they always loved it. Go on.
Yeah, nice. I just think that she's double figures, but if she runs on the day in the mare's chase, I can't see her being any bigger than 4-1. I mean, she's the best horse in the field. That race could cut up even further. She's always looked to me like she might benefit for a step up to 2 miles. I know she did run in the 2.5 mile race on New Year's Day, but that wasn't a true run and she was beaten a long way out. There was something wrong there. But
mate, you've got to realise, I discovered Put the Kettle On. I did a Cheltenham Forum once and Aidan Coleman was on the panel. And I said to him beforehand, I said, I'm going to put the kettle on, you know. And he's like, what? Really? And I did it and she won at 20-1. And so I've absolutely loved her ever since. But this year, Rob, blimey, those runs are terrible.
Well, I don't know. I think, I mean, the one on New Year's Day was terrible. Yeah, I'll give you that. But I think the previous run, the Schlur Chase behind Nube Negra, I mean, she wasn't as bad as you might have thought. I mean, the ground would have been a bit too quick there. Her RPR was quite similar to the one she put up in the Schlur when she won it the previous season. It was a better race, I think. Nube Negra is on the top of his game. I just think that if she goes there, she's the proven grade one horse and she'll be much short on the day. So,
okay, mate.
Yeah.
I hope you're right because I absolutely love her. David Jennings, what's your latest Cheltenham fancy for us?
Yeah, it's an interesting angle from Robbie because I think when it gets to the day, Henry has said that the Champion Chase is the most likely place she's going to go because she's the defending champion. But I think if it gets to the day and Energamine, Shishkin, Shaqem Persoir, if they all turn up, I think it's going to be very hard for Henry to go there and not go to the Mare's Chase. So I can see where he's coming from. The one I'm going to put up is in the Coral Cup. It's a horse called Caprond for Philip Hobbs and JP McManus. I thought the Great Wood was probably the best Great Wood in the last 10 years. And Caprond was fourth and made a couple of kind of novice-y errors. And I just thought watching the race that he was crying out for a step up and trip. It's interesting that they haven't ran him since. I have a feeling they think he's well handicapped off a mark of 140. He won the Persian War at Chepstow earlier on this season. And to me, he's just one that looks like he's been laid out for the race. So I've been banging the Caprond drum for quite a while. So hopefully he'll win the Coral Cup.
DJ, were you at Willie's press day in the week?
I was at Willie's press day during the week,
I thought,
yeah.
It was very interesting what he said about Shaqem. And he said he didn't know which one Paul Townend's going to ride out of that and Energamine, but he was talking in a way that if Paul Townend read those quotes, he would say, well, I think I'd better ride Shaqem Persoir. I thought that was very interesting, given he's twice.
Yeah, it's just fascinating because I'd say if you ask Paul Townend who's his favourite horse in Willie Mullins' yard, he'd say Shaqem Persoir. I'd say if you ask Willie Mullins who's his favourite horse in his own yard, he'd say Shaqem Persoir, and he's doubled the price of Energamine for the Champion Chase. And it's interesting, he said something similar after he won the Dublin Chase again at the Dublin Racing Festival, because they don't think that it's anything to do with the course or anything to do with the travelling. They just think it's something to do with, like, at the time he was beaten at Cheltenham in the Queen Mother last year when he was 8-13, they think tactics was the main reason he was beaten that day. He had a valid excuse when he ran in the Tinkle Creek, but usually stuff like valid excuses is factored to, or is not factored into a price, but this time it's factored way too much into a price. And I think Shaqem Persoir has been the wrong price all winter. So I'm not surprised to hear Willie saying stuff like that about Shaqem Persoir.
Interesting. Okay then, boys, thank you very much indeed. Where are you this weekend, Rob?
Got a weekend off, Bruce.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I need to get something planned. I don't want to sit on my arse for a weekend. Get back to you on that one.
Okay, mate. I can't wait to hear what your weekend plans are.
Not possible.
DJ, I bet you're grafting away, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Eve actually is going to afternoon tea with her mum tomorrow when I'm off. So I've got Georgia for the day. So it'll involve playgrounds and probably tree walks and Fireman Sam and stuff like that. And then Sunday, I'm in Nice.
Beautiful. Okay, boys, thank you very much indeed. Most of all, though, thank you for listening. Don't forget to join Maddie and the team on Monday, looking back on the weekend and looking ahead to some betting opportunities for the rest of the week. And then we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast. Hope you can join us.